Psalm 23. We're reading our Bibles tonight. Turn to Psalm 23. And we've reached verses 5 and 6 of our study of Psalm 23. And in these last two verses, the imagery changes from the Lord as the shepherd, as our shepherd, to the Lord as our host. See if you can catch that as we read these six verses together. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 is all about how you can rest in the Lord's care for you. In verses 1 to 4 there, David uses the picture of a shepherd. And maybe as you notice there, verses 5 and 6 contain host imagery. He's a host, and he hosts his people in his house. Look at verse 5. There's the table. There's the oil and a cup. All picture this host imagery. And verse 6 speaks of the eternal Lord's house. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Won't you come? Won't you come in? Come into the Lord's house with me, and you'll see that he is a gracious host. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Truth be told, only some can enter here into the Lord's house and sit down at his table. Who are they? Well, it's those who have truly entered the Lord's house. They are a part of his promises. They've received his promises. And over there, along the west side of the house, the west wall, is a beautiful piece of artwork telling us of this. It says, Christ is faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Hebrews 3, verse 6. By God's grace, some enter here into the Lord's house and stay here and feast at his table. Who are they? It's those who've trusted Christ, who've repented of their sin, and whom the Lord has indeed saved from their sin. Well, am I one of those who may stay here in the Lord's house and feast at his table? You might ask. Of course, he bids you stay. Trust him as your gracious master and God, and he insists that you stay. And you'd know you've entered the Lord's house. You would know that. And you would know if you feasted at his table. For one, if you've seen yourself growing spiritually as you walk with him in his house, this is true for you, you've received a gracious entrance into the Lord's house. And so now you too can say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What a gracious entrance into his house. Now, on the other side of this gracious entrance is a generous feast, a table prepared. The Lord himself prepared the table. It says, you prepare a table before me. And as you would expect with the Lord, he hasn't skimped out on anything. The fullness of his delights are before us at his table. On the left hand, the east wall, another piece of art. And it reads, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king giving a wedding feast for his son. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Matthew 22. And above that one, another picture reads, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19:9. No expense spared. A generous feast. Well, what is prepared before us at this table? Why, the delightfulness of his Holy Spirit and his fruit, the depths of joy, the heights of his love, and around us at his table are his godly children. We speak around his table of the work of his redemption, the power of his cross, and we know true fellowship with him. We know true fellowship with his Father. A generous feast. But as we feast, we all notice an unwelcomed guest. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. However, as we sit around his table, lavishly prepared with his other children, these unwelcome guests only seem to do his desire. We languish at times at his lavished table because of torment from those enemies. But as we continue our banquet in the Lord's house, the song of love to him above grows sweeter as the days go by. And we talk of all his wondrous love and care. And round my heart still closely twine those ties which nothing can sever. For I am his, and he is mine forever. These enemies, the sin, and even ourselves, ever before us. But as we fellowship with our gracious host, he reminds us to look down, for on the table itself is written, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? The wording goes on. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All on the table, they are written before us. So, the enemies, death, ha, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though our enemies are all around us, in plain sight, even at this table, the Lord, the gracious hosts, bids me still to feast on his delights. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. No fear of harm in Christ's great hand, though enemies around, I dwell securely and feast abundantly. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. As we continue our view of the inside of the Lord's house from the table, we glance again to the door where we entered, where there is a little stool, a basin of water, and a vial of olive oil, and we remember our lavish welcome. You have anointed my head with oil. Because it's a hot and dusty day in the Middle East, when the Lord bid us come into his house for salvation, and so he himself washed our feet. From our table, we can see over there a sign which reads, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean." And to relieve and refresh us from the hot, unbearable sun, he anointed your head with oil. This is the gesture of our gracious host, a lavish welcome. "What is this, my Lord?" you ask your gracious host. And he explains, "When you first came into my house of salvation, I gave you eternal life, and you will never perish, and no one will snatch you out of my hand. My Father who has given you to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. When you came into his house by a simple trust in him, you received salvation from sin, salvation from its power and its penalty. You received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, redemption from the slave market of sin. You were reconciled to the Father. You received peace with him, eternity with him, guidance for today, comfort in sorrow, love, joy, peace, and purpose in life, glorifying him and enjoying him. Trust him now. Oh, would you trust him? Receive his lavish welcome, lavish protection. Lavish welcome. And now his lavish promises. After looking at our lavish welcome, we can now look down at our cup at the table. My cup overflows. And that cup is his chosen providence for you. Your lot in life is your cup. The cup was, for a short time, an unpleasant providence for our gracious host. when he prayed the night before he was crucified. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And praise God, he drank that cup in full. He drank the full cup of God's wrath against our sin on that cross, so that our cup might be filled with the joy of eternal life. And so now in Christ, in the overarching experience of life with the Lord in his house, our cup overflows with all of the pleasantries of life with him. Printed around our cup at the Lord's table is Psalm 16:5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. So the cup is God's chosen providence for you. And for you who are in Christ, it overflows with joy unspeakable and full of glory. As we combine the imagery of this tour of his house, we know what it all means. This is the present day experience of eternal life, the pilgrim life. As he says in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The enemies are still present in our life today, aren't they? As we live with Christ in his house, they are. But because he is near, we can still feast at his table. Eternal life is not just life that doesn't end. Living forever. No, it's a quality of life. A quality of life that's given or derived from a relationship to the eternal host. And as you look now to the end of the house, you notice a door only to be entered at the final day. That day when the eternal life you experience today becomes an everlasting reality. And it's then that you'll know that the Lord is a gracious host forever. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, it reads. We can have confidence of everlasting life because in Christ the Lord has already welcomed us into his home. We have eternal life. And because he has, we know that goodness and loving kindness will follow me all of the days of my life. When you are walking with God in this life and you are a part of his family in his home, you'll say, God is good. When times are tough and the enemies are ever near, you'll feast at his table and there proclaim, God is good. When times are good and it seems your enemies have all fled away, behold the goodness of the Lord. And for certain his goodness will follow you. But for certain as well, his loving kindness does. His faithful promises to you in his word, because of his covenant love, his loving kindness, he will be loyal to his promises to you. In good times and bad, you'll be able to proclaim, God is faithful, his loving kindness has followed me. And in the end of days, you'll live in his house forever. Where? Because that house, because of the sacrifice of Christ, we will live there with Christ forever and ever. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And with John, we get a glimpse of that. Revelation 21, verse 3 to 7, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. For those of us in his house, we are awaiting that day when we will be forever in his house. We experience eternal life today, but we will know it forevermore. For those who know what it is to be in his house today, he has spread quite a different table before us, but a table no less, the Lord's table. And we meet together tonight to celebrate that. The Bible says that what we're about to partake in is the Lord's table. It's not our church's table. It's not a Baptist table. It is the Lord's table. So if you are the Lord's, this table is for you. If you are trusting Christ for salvation from your sin, God has saved you, you are invited to partake. This table is always a reminder to be unified with others, especially with those who name the name of Christ. And Steve, we'll just have Steve come up in a moment here, and he will distribute these to us. And when he distributes the bread, we'll wait to be served. When you receive that, I'll read a passage of Scripture, and then we'll eat together. And the same with the cup. Pass the cup, and we'll wait to be served, and then I'll read a passage, and we'll drink together. And if you don't know about your standing with Christ, you could ask him tonight, even in the silence, to save you. And for all of us here, let's do business with the Lord tonight. He is the Lord, very gracious to us, as we've heard tonight. And he desires to forgive you of all of your sin. And if you would but confess it, and desire to hate it, and to turn away from it, express that to him. He cleanses you of all sin. That is his promise. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So do business with him and confess that to the Lord. Confess it all and praise him for his goodness and grace and loving kindness that will follow you all the days of your life. So, Steve, if you'd come. bread there.
Father, we're grateful for the sacrifice that you made on our behalf. Let me think about the verse that says, while we were yet sinners, you died for the ungodly, and we know that was us. So we're grateful that no greater love has anyone than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Lord, you've called us your friends. Mm-hmm. For all those that would believe and take you at your word, just pray that you would just continue to impact us with that. Thank you for your body bruised and broken on our behalf. We just pray that as we partake of this supper that we would just remember again the sacrifice you made. We ask it in Jesus' name.
The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, Lord. There's somebody today that would try to get to heaven by their good works, Lord. We know that that is not possible. Your word clearly shows that, and we're grateful tonight that we have the truth of your word that tells us otherwise. And as we submit ourselves to you, and humble ourselves before you, and realize the work that you did on Calvary, Lord, your shed blood, Lord, that is the payment for our sins. So thankful to serve such a gracious master as you are. Just pray that you'd continue to help us understand this and apply this to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name.
In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Amen. Let's turn to number 340. This is a testimony, singing it as your testimony, which says, "I am coming, Lord. I've heard your welcome voice." He says, "Enter, enter my gracious house, enter." And this is our testimony, that we have heard his welcome voice. So let's sing it that way. And let's stay seated for this one, and then we'll stand on the next one. Okay, number 340.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Though coming weak and vile, thou dost my strength assure. Thou dost my vilest fully cleanse, till spotless all impure. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. 'Tis Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. 'Tis Jesus who confirms the blessed work within, by adding grace to welcome grace where reigned the power of sin. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. All hail atoning blood, all hail redeeming grace, all hail the gift of Christ our Lord, our strength and righteousness. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.
Now we'll turn into the back to Psalm 23b. It's just past the normal hymns, or not normal, but 23b, we've done this before. The King of Love, my shepherd is.
And note the last two lines are our text that we preached from today. Okay, so please note those especially.
Let's stand together as we sing this song.
The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never, and nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul
fails. The joy that that is in your house as we live today, tomorrow, and every day as we live in your house. We experience your eternal life, that quality of life dwelling with you, knowing you. We thank you that we have the promise that one day we will live in your house forever. Though the enemies draw near, you, we know, draw ever near. And there is no evil that can harm us when you are by our side. Father, we pray, rescue us always from temptations. Deliver us constantly from evil. May we know the sweetness of your nearness to us and the joy of our salvation. Help our hearts, we pray, to be always rejoicing in our pilgrim pathway. And may our spirits be full of joy, for we know in the end of days, because of our faith in you, through our faith in you, you will raise us from the dead, and we will dwell securely forever. Father, what great, magnificent, and precious promises that we have from your word. Instill these in us, and from them we ask now, help us live for your glory and for your glory alone. And we ask for Jesus' sake and in his name, amen. You're dismissed.